Welcome in. You are listening to the Blue Notes Podcast, a presentation of Indianapolis Colts stories and notes. I am your host, Benji Taylor. Saturday, the Colts beat the Steelers, ending an 8-game losing streak against them. I was there, and it was a sweet and satisfying win. It was an impressive effort by the Colts, who won against all odds. I can't wait to talk about this one. Stay with me, Colts fans. At the end of the 2007 season, the Colts, with Peyton Manning, made the playoffs but lost to the Chargers in the divisional round 28-24. The very next year, the Colts lost to the Chargers in the wildcard round 23-17. These back-to-back playoff losses and crushed hopes led to my specific and long-standing distaste of what was then called the San Diego Chargers. My brother-in-law Patrick and I started our Colts trip tradition in 2009. So the second year, when we looked for a game to attend, I circled the Chargers game on the schedule. Our beloved Colts were set to play Philip Rivers and those enemies late in the season on Sunday Night Football. I thought how satisfying it would be to beat those daggone Chargers on prime time and to see it with my own eyes. To see Peyton shred the Chargers and maybe even see Philip Rivers cry. Pure euphoria it would be. What I didn't consider is how I would feel if things went the other way. I never considered it, not for one second. Well, we made the trip to Indy and saw that Sunday Night Football game. And what we saw, I will never forget. It was one of Peyton Manning's worst games of his pro career. He threw 4 interceptions, 2 were returned for touchdowns, and the Colts lost to the Chargers 36-14. Sadly, that was the last time I would see Peyton Manning play football. You see, I do that sometimes. I only think about how great the experience would be if everything turns out perfect, and I fail to consider what might happen if things don't work out so well. Well, this past week, Patrick and I got to perform the rarity, 2 Colts games in one season. The reason why we made the exception this time is because they were playing the Steelers. And since many of our friends and family members are Steelers fans, we decided to make the trip together, Patrick and me and 3 Steelers fans. Against all odds, the Colts are in the heat of the playoff race with a real chance to grab a spot. But this game pitted the feisty young Colts against a Steelers team that has had great success over the Colts in recent years. In fact, the Colts had not won against the Steelers since 2008. 8 straight losses to Pittsburgh. And now the Colts must beat the Steelers to revive playoff hopes. It wasn't a great scenario, and I found myself in a similar situation to that Sunday Night Football game 13 years ago. Man, a win against this team, against these fans, would be sweet, but a loss would certainly burn. This time around, I was a bit more conscious of both possible outcomes, but shockingly, this one went our way. The Colts won mightily. At one point, I looked over and saw one of our friends with his head down and terrible towel draped over him. It was a satisfying sight. Last week, in my 97th episode, I organized by 3 observations. It seems fitting to finally develop some sense of organization almost 100 episodes in. So let's keep it going. A million things went well for our guys in that game, but let's focus on 3. Number 1, Gardner freaking Minshew. Gardner was great. I've been critical of the backup at times. I've been critical, and I've also praised him when necessary. That's the life of a backup, right? Consistently inconsistent, highs and lows. Saturday against the Steelers was a high. Gardner was 18 for 28 for 215 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. It was a 123.4 passer rating. That sounds good, but the numbers don't tell half the story. He was truly excellent. He was decisive and creative. My wife even said, when we discussed the game later, she said Gardner's even better out of the pocket. That hasn't been true every game this year, but it certainly was Saturday. He threw 3 touchdowns, but could have thrown a couple more. He hit 2 other pass catchers right in the hands, either in the end zone or at the goal line, and they dropped the ball. Gardner's great day could have been even greater. Too many teams are playing with backup quarterbacks at this point in the season. When the moment gets too big or too intense, backups tend to crumble. In fact, we saw that on the field Saturday by the team in the other color uniform. But in that moment, when the stakes were high and with playoff hopes hanging in the balance, Gardner delivered. Not only was Gardner's great play sufficient in keeping Colts playoff hopes alive, he also awakened the notion that he could lead this team onward throughout the postseason. I said right here in this mic last week that this team couldn't do it, that they were not built ready to make a deep playoff run. But I look around this league at the state of all these teams and think, why not the Colts? It seems like every team is struggling in one way or another. There are no perfect teams, especially at this point in the season. The Colts are battling. They, like so many others, have lost their starting signal caller, but they haven't lost hope. What I saw Saturday might have changed my mind about this team's chances. In the very least, even if a Super Bowl win isn't written in this team's near future, we have to love what these Colts are doing right now. Observation number 1, Gardner was great. Number 2, good coaches win with less, and the Colts have a good one. I have been hesitant to profess my love for new head coach Shane Steichen. It wasn't that I was a doubter, I'd just like to see it. I want to see how he performed over the course of a season, how his team responded to impossible situations, before I could foresee a long, successful coaching career for Steichen. I'm still not sure I'm ready to say that about Shane, but you have to love what he's done this year with these Colts. In 2017, Andrew Luck had disappeared for the entire season, and Jacoby Brissett was thrust into his first stint as Colts starting quarterback. Chuck Pagano was given one more year to prove himself, but the team fell flat and finished the season with 4 wins. It was a deeply flawed roster, so I wasn't surprised that they struggled so much. But I remember saying this about that team and about Pagano specifically. I said, a great coach can find ways to win in spite of the talent on his team. I really liked Chuck, but he was unable to overcome the problems with that roster. I think he was a good coach, certainly a good motivator, but he wasn't a great coach. Shane Steichen, on the other hand, is doing exactly what you want to see. He is winning in spite of his roster. The Colts were pegged to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. Too many sports writers predicted 4 or 5 wins. But with 3 weeks left, Shane Steichen's Colts have now won 8 games. They have a decent chance to win 11. And even if they don't hit that mark, double-digit wins is very possible. New Colts head coach Shane Steichen has been special this year, and there is no better example than what we saw Saturday against the Steelers. It's somewhat ironic because the Steelers coach, Mike Tomlin, has the reputation for tallying more marks in the win column than his team really deserves. Yet his team was the one dismantled in Lucas Oil Stadium. Against Steichen, Mike Tomlin was outcoached, and his team was outplayed. It was truly something to behold. And that brings me to my third observation about the Steelers game. The depth came through. The Colts went decidedly young this year, so it should be no surprise that the depth of this team has been an ongoing topic of conversation. There have been a few times when the rookie swing tackle, Blake Freeland, or the young quarterbacks have been embarrassed. But for the most part, I think they've played exceptionally well. And they've had to log significant snaps in critical game moments week to week. Against the Steelers, the young backups were not just dependable, they were phenomenal. With Jonathan Taylor out with the broken thumb, that left Zach Moss the lead back, but he was injured in the game after only four carries. Suddenly, Trey Sermon and Tyler Goodson were the new running backs. Sermon had a nice college career at Ohio State, but has already been dumped by two NFL teams in his young career. Prior to the Steelers game, Sermon had only 54 carries in his NFL career. Saturday, he had 17 carries for 88 yards and led the team in rushing. Just behind him was Tyler Goodson. 2 weeks ago, I'd never heard of this man. Apparently, he was on the Packers practice team last year, but he had never had an NFL carry before Saturday. And the Colts counted on Goodson for 11 carries that he turned into 69 rushing yards. Together, Trey Sermon and Tyler Goodson ran for 157 yards at 5.6 yards per carry. They were phenomenal. With JT and Zach Moss out, Michael Pittman Jr. was the next to go. He left the game early with a concussion after a dirty hit. Colts fans instantly wondered where in the world Gardner Minshew would throw the ball. And that's when yet another unfamiliar player stepped up. DJ Montgomery had his best game as an NFL wide receiver. In fact, prior to the Steelers game, Montgomery had only 36 receiving yards as a pro, and those were accumulated back in 2021 as a member of the Jets. Saturday, Montgomery logged 48 yards on two catches and scored his first NFL touchdown. Trey Sermon, Tyler Goodson, and DJ Montgomery. These aren't players you expect to help your fantasy team win a championship. They're practice team players called up to beat the Steelers, and each one delivered mightily. And it wasn't just those three. It was a collective effort for the Colts, all led by Gardner Minshew and Shane Steichen, a tandem not many expected to be tied atop the AFC South division with 3 weeks left of the season. Saturday was so much fun. Now the team travels to Atlanta to play the Falcons with a real chance of winning its ninth game of the season and win its sixth game in a seven-week stretch. Both teams are flawed, but few teams are playing with the momentum and confidence that the Colts have right now. I'm calling it now a win for the good guys. Hey Colts fans, have a merry, merry Christmas. It is truly the most wonderful time of the year. Enjoy time spent with family and friends. Come back next week, and hopefully we are talking about yet another Colts win. Take care and go Colts. This was a presentation of the Blue Notes Podcast. I'm Benji Taylor. Thanks for listening.